Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Another week in October has passed, and yet more uncertainty hitting markets for the most part. And it seems that hopes of another fiscal stimulus from the U.S. before the November elections is starting to really evaporate. How might this actually impact Forex markets, especially with a lot of other uncertainties coming from resurgent cases of COVID-19 infections in some major economies? Well, today on Forex Fridays, we're joined once again by Mr. Han Tan, an analyst at FXTM, to tell us about what he made of the week that was and what else we can expect. Han, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you're still in good health up in Kuala Lumpur. And welcome back to the show, sir.
Oh, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, you know, it seems that markets seem to have really run out of significant steam. Hopes of that fiscal stimulus package in the U.S., which was really keeping markets going a bit, seems to have evaporated for the time being ahead of the November polls. And you also have that renewed risk-off sentiment because of the COVID-19 cases we're seeing in some parts of the world. So, you know, markets starting to favor, not surprisingly, these safe haven currencies like the U.S. dollar and the Japanese yen. Do you think the flight to safety will continue for these two currencies until we get some more traction or clarity either from the U.S. polls, fiscal stimulus, or even the fight against COVID?
I think broadly speaking, when we look at global markets, investors appear to be seized up by the potential political paralysis, right? Because, you know, if markets, or as long as markets remain cognizant that there could be a delayed outcome to the U.S. elections, and that prolonged uncertainty would certainly be a hit in the gut for risk appetite, right? But then, you know, if markets over the next 2 weeks grow to expect a blue wave, right, the so-called blue wave, then that's a dollar negative scenario. A Trump win would see a shorter and perhaps less steeper period of dollar weakness compared to a blue wave scenario. But you're right to point out that in recent sessions, we have seen this tinge of risk aversion across the FX space. And then right now, markets are still mostly bullish on the yen compared to other G10 currencies against the dollar going into 2021.
Right. I think we've talked about this before, Han. It seems that some traders are starting to price in this possible blue wave or a possible Biden victory. But again, I guess I'll have to ask the question once more. I mean, is it perhaps too risky to try and make these bets given how unpredictable polls have proven? I mean, going back to circa 2016, we just saw how easy it is to upend the odds or the expectations of markets.
Yeah, look, JP, I wish I had a crystal ball. And
I'm not asking you to have one, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, but I think judging by the slight uptick in the U.S. dollar right now, right, I think there has been some massaging of those expectations. But again, those are the three broad scenarios that we are working with, that we're telling clients, and really that's all we can work with, right, in the absence of that crystal ball.
Let's talk about the euro. And when we talk about these rising COVID-19 cases, it seems that Europe is once again in the spotlight. They've called them clampdowns, curfews, and social restriction measures for some of the major metropolitan areas in Europe. And it is casting doubts as to whether or not the recovery in the eurozone can be sustained. Mm-hmm. We saw how stocks reacted in Europe overnight. How do you think this is going to impact the euro moving forward? Because it was looking fairly stable for the most part in the last couple of months.
Yeah, because over the last few months, the euro was able to take advantage of that weaker dollar. But then of late, we have seen some softening in the euro. It declined against most of its G10 peers this week. So, you know, of course, given the risk aversion that we mentioned earlier, that's why you're seeing in the G10 space, the Japanese yen, the Swiss franc, the dollar all gaining at the expense of the euro. But then here's the thing, if you look further out, if the resurgence of COVID cases on the continent then implies there's more incoming stimulus to help support the European economy, I think that in turn could help the euro unwind some of its recent losses. But again, this is further down the line, right? So I think what's clear is that the narrative that markets are working with is it's got to be a health response first and then the policy response, and then markets will react accordingly.
We're still speak to Han Tan, analyst at FXTM here on Forex Fridays. One of the big news points earlier this week, Han, was the central bank in New Zealand, you know, telling folks that they should not take the prospect of negative rates too lightly, indicating that there's a very good chance that the folks down in New Zealand might indeed go there. Talk to us about how this might actually change things for the Kiwi and if it might have any add-on effects to some other related currencies, like, say, the Australian dollar.
Well, okay. As things stand, the market's already pricing that in, right? And I think I mentioned this the last time I was on the program, right, as well. You know, they've been expecting it for for some time. If you look at the interest rate probabilities, markets expect negative interest rates to happen by April. It stands at about a 76% chance that it'll get there by then. So, you know, with that kind of mindset, no surprise then that the New Zealand dollar has weakened against most of its G10 peers so far this month. But then I think looking further out, you know, in terms of what could change for the Kiwi, then I think the New Zealand economy, right, then has to prove whether entering negative interest rates are having the intended consequences for the economy while keeping the adverse side effects at bay, right? And investors will then be wondering, right, because market's always forward-looking, well, then they'll be asking the question, when can New Zealand safely exit the negative interest rate regime and not, say, not get stuck there like the ECB and the BOJ, right? So it becomes a case of economic outperformance that drives the Kiwi's performance relative to its peers, you know, and that could help restore some of the demand for the New Zealand dollar after it has entered the negative rates regime, and well, if it gets there.
So let's talk about some stronger trends in the Forex space, because not everybody's really losing out. And two strong performers in recent times, Han, have been the Taiwan dollar and the South Korean won. I mean, why do you think that is?
Yeah, sure. So keep in mind that both Taiwan and South Korea are obviously export-oriented, right? And so we have seen some economic or signs of economic outperformance for these two countries. If you look at Taiwan, their exports have surprised to the upside in the third quarter, especially in August. Domestic demand is showing signs of recovery as well, given, again, Taiwan's health response to the pandemic. Similar for Korea, right, the economy is showing signs of recovering. We saw the central bank stand pat on interest rates earlier this week. And also keep in mind for the Korean won in particular, it has a strong or stronger positive correlation with the Chinese yuan, right? So the economy is one common theme. Another similarity is that Taiwan and South Korea are among the handful of Asian countries that have a month-to-date net inflow into its equity markets by foreign funds, right? So, you know, those are some of the major drivers that are at play here. But then to the other side, or on the other side of the coin, here's another similarity. You've got both central banks now who are also already having to kind of thread that rather sensitive line about managing their currency strength without incurring the wrath of the U.S. government, right? So it really remains to be seen how much more currency strength these two export-reliant economies can really tolerate.
You know, I do want to take a look now at another major currency, Han, and bring us back to Europe for now and the outlook on the British pound. Now, there seems to be a lot of squabbling between London and Brussels, but it seems more traders are pricing in a possible deal before the end of the year to keep the British pound afloat. In fact, despite all of these squabbles, it seems the British pound has actually gained a bit of ground against the euro specifically. What do you think we're missing out here?
That's the thing, right? I don't think we're really missing much right now, because it's a story that markets have gotten used to. There's a deadline, and then it's pushed back, and after all that political brinkmanship, a deal is struck at the 11th hour, right? So we have heard that time and time again. And so it's that narrative that's keeping the pound supported for now, and our traders are able to ignore those Brexit-related headlines, at least over the immediate term. But what is not movable is the Brexit deadline by the end of this year, and investors are cognizant of the fact. And as things stand, a hard Brexit is still a possibility, right? And we all know it doesn't do financial markets any favors, certainly not for sterling. And, you know, with less than 3 months to go, sterling sensitivity to Brexit woes, that will only grow if we get closer to year-end without a deal. And markets are already pricing in as such. They are expecting heightened volatility for the implied vols for the pound over the coming months, second highest, actually, among G10 currencies behind only the Norwegian kroner.
Very, very quickly now, Han, I do want to ask you also about the big event next week, which is China releasing their third quarter GDP figures. Do you think this is going to matter for the direction of the yuan, which authorities seem to be at least trying to cool down a little bit?
Yeah, so we have seen not just the yuan, but also Asian currencies as a whole that have a strong positive correlation with the Chinese yuan, like the Singapore dollar, Korean won, like I mentioned earlier, being able to take their cues from China's economic outperformance, right? And again, also, like I mentioned earlier, it's very much contingent on keeping the COVID-19 outspread in check, right? And so, yes, I think that is going to have a major bearing on not just the Chinese yuan, but also for regional economies that have huge exposures and huge reliance on the world's second largest economy.
A lot of things to look out for as we near the end of the year, indeed. I would like to thank Han Tan, analyst of FXTM, for joining us today on Forex Fridays. Han, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health and safety in these times, and we look forward eagerly to the next time you can come back on the show. Have a great weekend ahead, sir.
You too, buddy. Thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.